Can you briefly tell me your name and what your role is within Mary Mother of God Parish?
My name is Father Alejandro Lopez. I'm a conventual Franciscan priest, and I'm the pastor here at Mary Mother of God Parish.
Awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about the conventual Franciscans?
Yes. Conventual Franciscans go back to St. Francis of Assisi, who was born in 1181, and he started an order of religious brothers and priests. And since then, we are basically all over the world. We have the shrine in Assisi with the body of St. Francis, and we are confessors to the Pope. We have the confessionals at the Vatican. If you go to the Vatican and want to go to confession, you would go to a conventual Franciscan priest there.
That's an amazing answer. Thank you.
That is cool.
Yeah. And when did the conventual Franciscan friars get involved with Mary Mother of God Parish or the individual constituent churches?
Yeah, it was about 9 years ago we got involved. We were looking at our province here in the Midwest is stationed here in Chicago, and for the most part, we were doing ministries at parishes in rural areas. So like Rockford, Peoria, Illinois, things like that. We did have the Basilica of St. Josephat in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But we didn't have anything here in the Chicago area. And we were looking to expand, to grow in areas where we would have multiple priests living in larger communities, because that's part of our conventual lifestyle. Means that we live in convents, meaning we have multiple people living in a house and working in multiple ministries from that house. So usually where we're in history, we were mostly the larger communities, whereas the Brown Franciscans that broke off from us, they were more in the rural areas, living solitary, not solitary, but more individual ministries and stuff. And so we're trying to get back to our roots. And so we were wanting to find a parish that we could work at, that we would be able to live in a larger house and be able to minister. And that's what Mary Mother of God allowed us to do. So we approached the bishops here in the Archdiocese of Chicago, and they said they offered this place to us here. At the time, I believe it was just us and St. Thomas of Canterbury Church first, and then St. Gregory the Great came on about 3 years after that, 3 years ago, I should say.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a fantastic answer as well. Thank you. Your own role in the church, how would you describe that?
Well, I would say, you know, I've only been here a year, so I'm still learning what my role is here at Mary Mother of God. But as a pastor, basically, you're the cheerleader. So you are trying to get people moving in the same direction and lifting them up, doing your best to minister to the community here. Those who are in need can always approach the pastor, and as well as trying to inspire and excite people. I think Paul writes in one of his letters, you are to stir the flame of the Holy Spirit in people's hearts. So that's, I think, what the pastor's job is.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
What challenges are involved with ministering multiple churches throughout one parish?
Well, what challenges is that there's a lot to do. And thankfully, I have a very good community here in terms of people who work at Mary Mother of God, at St. Edas, St. Gregory the Great, and St. Thomas of Canterbury. They are good staff, but the challenge as a priest, as the pastor, is that you're constantly being pulled in different directions to attend to different needs of the community, whether it be fixing, you know, a boiler that breaks down in one of the schools. Or like this morning, I had a lady who needed assistance with food. She had no food, and she was diabetic, and she was struggling. I needed to hear confessions at the same time that this lady needed help. And it was just me here at the moment, because the other priests are doing other things. So you're always being pulled into something else. The church is a church in which there's always a need, and it can be sometimes a very deep hole that never gets filled. And if you are not careful, you can fall into that hole and keep falling.
Wow.
So yeah. You have to have proper boundaries. And that's one of the challenges as a priest, is learning how to say, I can't do that right now, or I can't do that, period.
That must be hard.
It is hard, because as a priest, you also want to help. and you've got the Good Shepherd as your role model, and he's saying, go out to the lost sheep and bring them in, go out to those in need. The ones that are most in need are the ones often that get left behind, because you've got other things that are calling you and your attention, and it's not easy.
So sometimes you feel spread a little thin?
Sometimes you feel spread a little thin.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Are there differences in the ceremonies that you may conduct based on the individual needs of each church, each community?
Yes, in the sense that, for example, at St. Thomas of Canterbury, we have a Vietnamese Mass on Sunday mornings.
Right.
You're not going to have that here at St. Edith's because it's not as large of a Vietnamese population here, or at St. Gregory's. So yes, St. Gregory's being our place where we have St. Gregory Hall that does the work of promoting beauty and culture. Catholic beauty and culture. They've got a morning mass that is conducted that has more, it's more traditional music. There's an Kevin Allen is the organist there, who's world renowned, and he's written pieces for the Pope, and he helps guide the choir there, and often will do liturgies there that are more choral, a traditional choral music. We just had one for example, for the Annunciation, which was celebrated this past Monday.
Awesome, yeah. And so do you change the content of any of your...
The liturgies are pretty planned out,
right,
for each year. You may do different things. Like, we're already planning on Corpus Christi that's coming up, a procession. We're not going to do a procession at one of the other churches. We're going to do it at the main church here at St. Edith's, just because it's more convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't... It's just too complicated to try and get it at all the other churches as well.
So that's part of it, is that you do sometimes have to centralize and...
Yes. For example, at Easter, there's three big days that happen right before Easter called the Triduum. And so that's Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and then the Easter Vigil on Holy Saturday night. Those only happened at this church because it's the mother church of the other churches.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one parish. So, and they're very complicated liturgies. It just didn't make sense to have them at each of the churches.
Right.
Plus, we're trying to build the community. I mean, part of the challenge is to see ourselves not as a church, individual churches, but as a whole parish.
Yeah, I think that leads really perfectly into my next question, which is, what do you think the role of the friars are in building that community?
Well, that's what we do. I mean, we celebrate Mass at each of the places, and hopefully we bring the same message to wherever we're going, so that we're all focused on Christ and His church and serving the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that whether you're at St. Gregory the Great or St. Edith's, you still do the work of the food pantry at St. Thomas of Canterbury. You're still contributing to that, to help with that, and you're open to going to help there, because we're all one. We're trying to see ourselves not as individual churches, which is difficult. And the friars being friars, that's what we do. We bring peace. We help reconcile things. Not that there's divisions, but you can get into the mindset that's more tribal of, well, I'm at St. Gregory's. I don't need to do things at St. Edith's or St. Thomas of Canterbury, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get everybody to see, you know what? We're all in this together. And there's gifts that we can share that help us to become a better place that serves the people of God.
Wow. Okay, great.
That's the hope.
Yeah, that's the hope. Awesome. And in what ways do you think the parish, the church, has grown stronger as a result of the merger?
Well, I mean, that's basically what leads from what I just said to now, in the sense that there are gifts that each place has that the others don't have. Okay, so the focus on liturgy and music and all arts in St. Gregory the Great. We have them at the other places, yes, but it's focused there, so that they bring that and they help lift the other places up to see that as well. St. Thomas of Canterbury brings our attention to the needs of the poor in a special way, and to people that maybe groups, individuals, migrant communities like the Laotian and the Burmese, the Vietnamese, they're the ones who they go to church over there. They come to St. Edith's as well. But they have a Vietnamese Mass there that helps, you know, them feel at home in this culture that might be very different from what they're used to. And then there's St. Edith's that is just, you know, St. Edith's is wonderful because we have a lot of things going on here, from you know, we have Spanish masses here and the Hispanic community. We've got different organizations, Knights of Columbus, things like that here, Filipino group that do things that help all the groups come together, I guess.
Right. Awesome. And kind of building off of that, what challenges do you see going forward?
The challenges is that while we are diversified in the sense of different cultures here, we can get thinking in ways that are very small. And I think our challenge is trying to see the bigger picture. Not only are we one parish, but we're also part of an archdiocese that has needs, as well as a world that has needs. And we need to make sure that we see outside of our boundaries, that the needs of others. Jesus, over and over and over and over and over again, kept telling his disciples, stay awake. Basically saying, pay attention to what's going on around you, because God is here, especially in the needy, and we need to really help those in need, because that's our job. We cannot be for Christ if we do not help the needs of those around us.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
And so you think it's broader than even just your own parish,
it's
right?
It's got to be.
Yeah. So
it's got to be.
Do you guys work outside of the parish?
We don't. No. But, having said that, we don't.
But do you think that makes...
We do in a way that, for example, the archdiocesan appeal that happens every year, it's an appeal asking for help. We contribute more over what we're expected to contribute as a parish. And that money comes back to us, but it's given out of charity for the needs of the archdiocese. And from there, then, it works, you know. We also have collections for, like, Caritas, which is an organization that helps the poor around the world, and they come up at different times of the year and things like that.
But do you know, based on what you're saying, do you think there's maybe a need for inter-parish collaboration?
We do some of that. It's just very complicated. I mean, it's complicated already with the parish being three churches.
Yeah, I imagine.
You know, working, and there is some inter-parish, because we do get aid from other churches around us that are more wealthy. They bring us money that helps with our food pantry and things. Someone else may be able to answer that better than I do, because I don't really deal with the money side of things.
Right.
In terms of, I try not to focus on that. I mean, that's a need as a pastor, to be aware of money and how it's being spent. Yes, and I have to sign off on things. Yes. But at the same time, my focus isn't about making money. It's about caring for the people.
Right.
And the money is there for that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and what, if you don't mind me asking, what compelled you to become a pastor?
I don't want to be a pastor. The need was there. And they asked me, would you be the pastor here? I want to be a priest.
Really?
I feel compelled to be a priest in the sense that this, I just felt called by God that mm-hmm. this is what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, there was always the question in preparing for being a priest, if this is right, because maybe God didn't want me to do this and wanted me to do something else. But since becoming a priest, looking back on it, you say, oh yeah, this is what it's supposed to be. And it feels right.
Mm-hmm. And so you're feeling, you know, you're
yeah, I'm feeling my call.
Yeah.
And so it feels right. And it's the need of the church was, I need a pastor here. Can you do it? I can do it. So mm-hmm. I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here. Would I rather not? It's not that I would rather not be here. It's rather I'd rather not be the pastor.
Okay.
But there's no one else. So I'm here.
Right.
I can do the job.
You just don't.
You know, I prefer not to be in charge.
I see.
It's not easy saying yes or no to people.
Yeah, and I think you brought that up earlier. It's one of the challenges.
It's one of the challenges. You want to say yes to everything, but some ideas are just not that good. And for the good of the whole, you have to say no sometimes.
Say no sometimes. Yeah. Do you have any good ideas for the church?
No, not right now.
Not right now.
Not that I want to share on the microphone.
No, I completely understand.
Okay.
But, do you have anything that you feel that I missed that you want to talk about the church?
I don't know what you've talked about with other people, so I don't know if I have
Just with you, purely.
Yeah, with me. Just that, you know, the Franciscans have always been people who have been beloved by the people of God from St. Francis on. If you were to name the most favorite saints of all, Mary would be up there, and Francis would probably be the second, because these are the people that really made an impact on our church, and their role was very special. Francis came along when the church was really limping, and because of his love for Christ, he inspired people to follow him without any of the stuff that we have today. And that's pretty incredible, I think, that we still talk about him and still want to model our lives after him as Franciscans. And that people still, if you say, you know, I've only been here a year, and coming here, the people of God embrace me and love me even before I got here, because they love St. Francis and they love the pastor who was here before, who was Franciscan, and they trust us because they know that we're there for them, that we have big hearts and we do our best to help lift people up. And I think that's something that the Franciscans give to the community, and they know this and are appreciative of it, and we can see that and feel it in a real way.